This meeting is being sponsored by the FA New England 12-Step Committee for the distinct purpose of creating tapes for the 12-Step Tape Library. Those who wish, please join me in a moment of silence in the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Okay, there is a seventh tradition basket. Please be generous. And the leader qualifies. And I can't even tell you how grateful I am to be here and to be abstinent and to be thin. And not eating one day at a time, and not drugging and drinking and all the things that I did in my life. I'll tell you a little bit about where I was, what happened, and where I am now. I'm one of seven children, and I'm second from the youngest. I had four brothers and two sisters and myself. My family life was very chaotic growing up. My mother died when I was 9 years old. My father was left with seven children, and he really didn't have a clue, in my opinion. But he did the absolute best that he possibly could. My father's an alcoholic, and he had been in the Army for 28 years, and that's what he knew. He knew how to be in the Army, he knew how to work, and he knew how to drink. He knew how to keep a roof over our heads. We could reach my father anytime we needed him. He was only a phone call away, but you can't bring up seven children by telephone. It doesn't work. So it was basically seven kids bringing up themselves, and there was a lot of chaos, a lot of fighting, a lot of stuff going on. I believe every single one in my family is touched by the disease of addiction, is more than touched, is owned by the disease of addiction. My father was over 500 pounds. My mother died when she was in her very early 40s from lung cancer. No, not from lung cancer, from cancer. My oldest brother died in he was 48, of lung cancer. My two of my brothers were over 500 pounds and heroin addicts. My oldest sister, who took on a lot of the maternal responsibility after my mother passed away, came into this program with me at almost 300 pounds. My youngest brother died at the age of 16 of a drug overdose. So the disease of addiction is rampant in my family. So that's the history, a little bit of the history. And I don't remember a lot of my childhood, but I do remember food being very important to me. This morning I had so many remember wins. I was thinking about Thanksgivings, you know, when I was a young girl. And my aunt, who lived in Fall River, she used to come and visit us. She was an elderly woman, and she used to come and visit us. And I remember watching for her coming off that Greyhound bus with all the little white bakery boxes, you know, and I knew what was in those bakery boxes, and I wanted those bakery boxes. Auntie Flessie, great bakery boxes. I remember shortly after my mother died, my father had sent me to Virginia to visit with an uncle and an aunt. And I was thinking about them this morning, so I picked up the phone and I called them to wish them a happy Thanksgiving. My uncle now has Parkinson's disease, and his wife was in a major accident, and she's got four crushed vertebrae. So they're both, you know, invalid. And so I called them this morning, and I wished them a happy Thanksgiving, and just to let them know I was thinking of them, and I was talking to them about when I came to visit them. My father had put me on a Greyhound bus. I was about 9 years old. God bless my father. put me on the bus by myself, and my uncle said to me this morning, he said, I don't know how you made that switch over in New York City at your age. I said, well, God was shining on me even then. I said, because there was this little old lady, she was like my grandmother. She took me by the hand, and she took me through the terminal, and she made sure that I made the switch just fine, you know. And then we were laughing because he was saying how unhappy I was when I was there. And I said, yeah, I said, because Lucille put me on my first diet, and she wouldn't feed me. So, you know, we were laughing, and he said, you know, he asked me where I was working and all this other stuff. So I was telling him that I was working with one of my sisters, and he said, oh, yeah, she was the only thin one in the family. I said, yeah, I said, but today I'm thin, too. And I proceeded to tell him that, you know, over 200 pounds has come off my body, and it's been off for 10 years, thank God. And he was, you know, I told him a little bit about program and stuff, and it was just a really nice conversation. And then I called my aunt, who lives in Florida, who was up here for my father's birthday in August, and, you know, just reaching out to people and saying happy Thanksgiving, because I am so thankful for the life that I have, and it's just wonderful. So, I grew up, and I got into high school, and by this time, my father had remarried when I was about 13. Well, let me back up a little bit. My father had had some kind of a seizure. It was an epileptic seizure, and they put him into the hospital, and he stayed in the hospital for almost a year, I would say. And he was up at the Naval Hospital in Chelsea, and they put him on this rigorous program, and he got down to a normal sized body. And I relate to how my father felt at that point, because it happened to me once. He must have felt like $1 million. And he went out, he found himself a wife, he remarried, and unfortunately, they were both alcoholic, and they got active, and it wasn't a pretty picture. By that time, it was just myself and my younger brother were living at home, and she had a daughter, and we all moved in together, and it just wasn't a pretty picture. So my younger brother ended up moving in with my sister, who had taken on a lot of the maternal responsibility, and I moved in with the other sister. They were both married and had houses, and so that's how it was. So by then, I was a junior in high school, and I decided that I was going to quit school. I had had enough. And my sister told me that if I didn't go to school, I had to go to work. I had to do one or the other. So I went to work in a factory. I got cured quick and went back to school. And when I went back to school, I hooked up with a girl who had done the same thing as I had. She had left school, but when she came back, she really wanted to make a comeback, and she really wanted to do it right. So I got together with her, and we graduated high school with the honor roll. And for that, I am truly grateful for that. Then, after high school, and even before high school, before I got out of high school, I moved around a lot. You know, I stayed with friends. I was the kind of kid, even as a very young girl, I was the kind of kid who always wanted to come for dinner and never go home. I remember when I was a young kid, I went across the street to a friend's house, and I asked her to ask her mother if I could stay for supper. I can still vividly see what she pulled out of that oven, and I wanted to stay more than anything, and she wouldn't let me. And I hated that woman for that. I was so angry at her that she wouldn't let me stay for dinner. I remember I would go up the street for Italian food, to the other friend's house for Polish food. You know, the girl who I used to go for Polish food, last week her father just passed away, and I went to that wake. And we were at the wake, and what did we talk about but how we used to eat together, you know? And she said to me, remember we used to go to your house, and in my house, we had this big deep freeze, and my father used to bring home these containers of things, and she said, remember how we used to sneak in the deep freeze, she said, and get all that stuff? And, you know, it's amazing, you know, but we share this disease. And even as very young children, that's what we did. We'd go to each other's house and we'd eat. I knew everybody's ethnic background, and I knew what kind of food they liked and when they ate it, and I was there. And I always weaseled my way in. So, so after high school, I got hooked up with this girl who was a single mother and on welfare, and she took these diet pills, and she loved these diet pills. And I used to go to the doctors for her because I was always obese, and they would prescribe me these pills, but I didn't take them. I'd give them to her, and she'd offer them to me, but I really didn't want to get into it because I had seen what drugs had done to members of my family, and I really didn't want to get into it. But I got to the point that I really wanted to take off some weight. So I started to go to the doctor for myself. And at that time, I weighed 289 pounds. And this doctor put me on these diet pills, and I love these diet pills. I swear I was born an addict. And I started taking them, and those diet pills worked for me once, taking off the weight. I got down to 200 pounds, and I thought I was body beautiful. I thought I was Miss America. I was going to go out there, find myself a man, and everything was going to be just honky-dory, you know. And that's why I say I relate to my father, how he must have felt, because that's the way I felt, so I'm assuming that's the way he felt, too. I went out there, and I hit the bars, and I found myself a man, and I spotted him from across the bar, and I made a beeline over to him, and I knew that he was my victim, and that was it. He was my prey, and that was it. I was in for the kill. And we got into a relationship real quick, and the first night that I met him, he had told me that he was 19 years older than I was. He had a wife, he had a son, but he hadn't seen them in 2 years or more. So I thought, not a problem. Not my problem. You know, I assumed that he was either divorced, separated, it was over. No problem. That was it. We moved in together. My daughter was conceived. And then I realized that that wasn't the case at all. He wasn't divorced. He wasn't separated. They had a long-distance relationship. He just hadn't seen her in 2 years. So then he started flying back and forth, and I stayed in that relationship for 11 years, and I knew it was no good from go. But, you know, these pills, they worked for a while for the weight. For me, they worked for a while. And then I built up a tolerance. So if 3 is good, 4 is better. 4 is good, 5 is better. 5 is good, 6 is better. And that, for a very, very long time, I was addicted to these drugs. When I got pregnant with my daughter, I wanted a healthy baby more than I wanted anything. But I couldn't give up those pills for my life. For my daughter's life, I just couldn't. They had me like nothing else ever had me in my life. And I prayed to God every single day to give me a healthy baby. I cut down a lot, but I just couldn't give them up because I couldn't function. I couldn't get out of bed. I couldn't do a dish. I couldn't do anything. Well, God's been very, very, very good to me. And God gave me that healthy baby. And for that, I will be eternally grateful. The 2 best days of my life are the days that my daughter was born healthy and that I was able to get abstinent in this program. Because those are both direct gifts from God. So, God gave me that healthy baby. And once that baby was born, there was no holds barred. You know, then, I was off and running big time. My daughter was born in October of 1979. In December of 79, my sister, who had taken on a lot of the maternal responsibilities, had bought a house. And they were in this house, and at this point in her life, she was getting a separation from her husband. She had three children. But her third floor tenant moved out, I asked her if I could have that apartment with the understanding that I would pay the second mortgage, that would be my rent, and, you know, we had this thing worked out, and that's the way it was supposed to be. I moved into that apartment in December of 1979. My daughter was 2 months old, and my sister, God bless her, she was into the same thing that I was, and we were like the dynamic duo, you know. We were like Ike and Mike. We loved the pills, we loved the booze, we loved the nightlife, we loved to party, and that's what we did for a very long time. All my money went to addiction. That's where all my money went to. Drugs, booze, cigarettes, food. That was it. That's where all my money went to. I didn't pay a bill. I didn't pay gas, but I lived in that apartment for 6 years without gas because they took the gas meter out of my house. I couldn't shower there, I couldn't cook there, I couldn't heat up a baby bottle there. If I couldn't do it on a one of those hot plates, I couldn't do it. And that's how my daughter grew up for quite a few years, was growing up for quite a while. And I was getting crazier by the minute, and I was getting fatter by the minute. This weight was coming on, and, you know, the pills just weren't doing it anymore. And I was eating and drinking and smoking, and what the pills were helping me do was to do all that stuff faster. That's all they were doing. And I knew I was crazy. I knew that I was a drug addict. I knew that I was an alcoholic. But I had no clue that I was a food addict. I just thought I was fat, and if I lost weight, I'd be okay. And today I know that I am a food addict, and that is a wonderful gift in my life to know that, and to know there is a solution, and this is my solution. So one day I was in my house, and I was at my wit's end. And I had three other children beside my daughter in the house. And I sat down at the kitchen table and I thought, this is it. I can't take anymore. God, please, someday, make me normal without these pills, you know. Well, prayer doesn't fall on deaf ears because God heard my prayers. It didn't happen immediately, but it happened. The doctors that I was going to, one of them retired. The other one got his license taken away. The pharmacies that I was going to, having them refilled illegally, one of the pharmacists had a heart attack. He had to close up shop and retire. The other pharmacist got arrested. His partner wouldn't do the illegal refills anymore. Little by little, these pills were getting taken out of my life. So then there was a friend of my sister who... my nephew was going to be married in April of 1988, my oldest nephew. In February, we went to a bridal shower. And this woman came to this bridal shower, and I had known her all my life. Her and my sister taught me how to walk. And this woman came into this bridal shower. I had known her all my life, and I had seen her yo-yo. One time I'd see her at 350 pounds, another time I'd see her at 120 pounds. You never knew where she was going to be. Well, this particular time she walked into that bridal shower. She looked gorgeous. She had this dungaree dress on, and she just strutted into that room like a million bucks. And she had this smile on her face, and she was radiant. And I looked at her, and I said to her, "What the hell are you doing?" And she said, "Away." Thought, whoa, what's this? You know, she looks fabulous. And she proceeded to tell me about how she found a boyfriend. He was in program also. He had once weighed 485 pounds, was now in a normal sized body, and she was very happy and da da da. And previous to that, both of my brothers had gone to prison, but one of them who was in prison, someone from program had gone there to do outreach, and he lost 130 pounds in prison. He sent me a letter home telling me, and he gave me a phone number to call. But I wasn't interested because I wanted these pills to be my answer. I wanted those pills to be my solution. I couldn't function without them. So I kind of filed it away. And then when this woman showed up at the bridal shower and told me she was in program, I thought to myself, wow. And previous to that, another friend of my sister, now remember it's getting hard to get these pills, another friend of my sister had said that she knew of a doctor who would give me 4 months of pills if I lost weight. But if you don't lose weight, he shuts you off. He doesn't write the script. So the wedding came in April. This woman showed up at the wedding, and I got to meet the boyfriend. And they danced, and seemed to have a very nice time. And I thought, wow, this really looks good, you know. Boyfriend, thin, happy. Why not? I need to lose weight. I can get 4 months of pills if I can lose weight. So I figured in 4 months, I could drop 50 pounds, no problem. And that would be it. And then, you know, I wouldn't have pills, so I figured I'd blow up. You know, explode, whatever, but I didn't care. My focus was to get the pills, get 50 pounds off, get a little relief, and you could all kiss my ass because I'd be out of here. Well, I went to a meeting. It was on a Thursday night in Chelsea. My sister and I went to a meeting together, and we walked into that room, and I remember looking around. And I remember seeing the majority of people there were thin, and I couldn't understand that. And I heard people get up and say they had lost 135 pounds, and this one particular girl that I'm thinking about, I think she said 165 pounds. She looked like $1 million. She looked like she never had an extra ounce on her, and I couldn't figure out where all the hanging stuff was. You know, I couldn't figure out where all that fat went and how could she look like that. She looked like she maybe she lost 10, 20 pounds. What do I know? 165 pounds, she's telling me she lost. Another woman get up. She lost X amount of weight, was very happy. Her life was turning around. You know, another guy get up and said, the only exercise I do is bend my knees in the morning and at night. And I thought, I can do that, you know. And, so I sat and I listened, and at the end of that meeting, a greeter came over. Or it was during the break, the greeter came over. And she showed me her pictures, and she was a very nice, kind, elderly woman. And she talked to me, and she said to me, so what's your phone number? And I said, oh, I don't have a phone. And she looked at me and she said, oh, we'll have to do something about that. And I thought to myself, this broad has no idea who she's dealing with. There's no way I'm going to have a phone, you know. But I just, like, kind of dismissed it. I just dismissed everything that I didn't want to deal with. I just dismissed it. So I went home that night. Another woman, the woman who lost 165 pounds, showed my sister her pictures. My sister and I went together. And she showed her pictures, and they were very, very impressive. And I went home that night, and I knew there was something at home that I was going to eat, and I knew I was going to eat it. So I went home, and I ate it. But, you know, somewhere along the line in program, I heard that once you come into program, it's never the same, and it really isn't the same. I went home, and I ate it, and I had eaten that thing before, but it just wasn't the same, you know. It probably had something to do with it. It was sitting in the box and drying out all night, too, but you know, it just, not that I hadn't done that before, because I had, but it just wasn't the same. But I promised myself that I would go to another meeting. The next meeting in my area was Saturday morning. So I got up and I went up to that meeting, and it was at St. Luke's Church in Chelsea. And when I walked into that room, that greeter who had greeted me saw me. She was standing on the other side of the room, and she saw me come through the door, and this big smile came across her face, and she came over to me, and she said to me, "I'm so happy to see you. I'm so glad you came back." And I thought to myself, this broad better get a life. I don't know what she wants from me. You know, why is she so happy to see me? I couldn't figure it out for the life of me. Now I know very well what it's like to see a newcomer come through the door in that kind of condition, and to see them come back and keep coming back and get well. It's such a gift. It's such a wonderful gift to try to help somebody else to get what you've been so graciously given. And so I sat down at that meeting, and I sat in the back of the room, and I'm sure a lot of it went over my head, but what I heard there was, I heard a lot of things, but some of the things that I can remember right this minute are, don't leave this room without a sponsor. And I heard a lot of hope there, and a lot of people's lives changing. So, at the end of the meeting, I sat through that meeting and I cried because I related so much. And I was really desperate. So people had stood up to be greeters, sponsors, whatever, and I went around to everybody, and this one was a greeter, that one was a greeter, and I was so emotional. By the time I got to my fourth person, I was like, who the hell is a sponsor? You know, and I was sobbing and carrying on. Well, I remembered that the woman who I had seen at the bridal shower had also stood up. She was at that meeting, and I made a beeline over to her, and I was crying. I couldn't breathe. Like this, and she took me over in the corner, she gave me a hug, and she said to me, everything's going to be okay, you know. And I said to her, will you sponsor me? And she said, she looked at me with this look of fear. The way I perceive it is, she really didn't want to, but she was afraid that I wouldn't ask anybody else, so she agreed. So we went outside and we were talking, and she was telling me about all the tools of the program. She was telling me about sponsorship and literature and writing and, you know, all the tools, the literature and everything. And she said to me, now, she said, if I tell you what to eat, will you remember? And I said, no. She said, okay, you go home, get near your sister's phone, and either I'll call you or you call me, write down everything I tell you. Okay, I could do that. So I went to leave the church, and I went to click the gate at the church. I'll never forget it as long as I live. And she held up her finger, and she looked at me, and she said to me, no medication. And I thought, oh, you know, she just burst my bubble. This was it. So right then and there, I thought, well, I'm not going to say anything. I went home, and I got near the phone. I did what she told me, and I still have that little notebook that I wrote down all the food that I could eat. And I decided just to ignore it, you know, the no medication thing. Just dismiss it. Like I did everything else that I didn't want to deal with, I dismissed it. But, you know, that's lying by omission. I know that now. At the time, it was just dismissing it. So I was on one hell of a diet for quite some time. And I was weighing and measuring for the most part, and I wasn't eating flour and sugar for the most part, but every once in a while I'd go out on this little toot, and sometimes I would tell my sponsor, sometimes I would not. And so this went on for a while, but the weight was coming off. The weight was falling off my body. When you're that size, when you stop eating flour and sugar for the most part, weighing and measuring for the most part, you know, the weight comes off. It's inevitable. You know, it's inevitable. So, because you have to do a lot of eating and take in a lot of stuff to maintain that body size. And, you know, when you stop, the body size comes down.
So people thought that I was just doing marvelous. This doctor that I was going to that was giving me the 4 months of pills thought he was wonderful. He thought I was fabulous. He thought everything was just terrific. I swear that that doctor would have kept writing, you know, had I, because I was doing so good. But my sponsor, now I'm coming to meetings and I'm hearing people how they're getting healthy, happy, their family life is changing. You know, it's a wonderful thing happening to these people. And I really wanted to be normal someday without these pills. You have to remember what I asked God. So, about 4 months into it, my sponsor said to me, "Look, Darlene, I don't know what's with you, but, you know, you really have to participate in this program. I understand you don't get up and share because you've broken your abstinence. You know, you don't have 90 days. I understand you don't get up and share, but you have to get up and read. You know, you have to read from the big book. You have to do this. You have to participate. Participation's a big part of my program." So at a Thursday night meeting, I raise my hand, and what do I get called on for but how it works? I get in front of the room, and I read how it works, and that was the first time that I really heard how it works. I think that's my favorite part of the big book. And I started to cry, and I couldn't stop, and I couldn't continue to read. I put the book down, and I went and sat down. There was a guy in the front row, and he said to me, "But we love you anyway, Darlene." And he really sent me off, because I started to cry like I never cried before. I went home and cried. I cried and cried. But I made myself a promise, because I thought I was one of those people who was constitutionally incapable. But that big book told me that if I got honest, I had a shot. I was desperate. I had the gift of desperation, God, G-O-D, gift of desperation in my life. So I promised myself that I was going to get up in the morning and I was going to call my sponsor and tell her everything that I was doing. So that's what I did. I called my sponsor and I was crying like no tomorrow. And I said to her, "Remember that day I sat outside of St. Luke's Church?" You know, I told her everything that I was doing. And I said, "Remember that day outside of St. Luke's Church and you said to me, 'No medication'?" And she said to me, "I don't know what you're talking about. I never said that to you." And I said, Of course you said it to me. It's been on my conscience ever since." I said, "And I've been taking these pills and you told me no medication and I've been lying." What we figured out was she didn't say no medication. She was telling me about the tools of the program. She said to me, "Oh, meditation." But what God had me hear was no medication. I'm telling you, when I can tell you story after story how God has taken care of things in my life that I could have never dreamed up in a million, million years. I had one just this morning. And it's a wonderful thing. So I made a decision that I was going to give this program my all. I was going to give it everything I had, and I was going to get honest, and I was going to just do it. You know, I heard that if you work this program the way your disease worked you, you'll be a winner. Stick with the winners, you'll be a winner. I did everything that I heard, you know. I heard a woman getting up in front of the room saying she was going to 90 meetings in 90 days, and she was doing fabulous. I could hear it in her. I could see her getting better, and I could hear it. So that's what I decided to do. I decided to go to 90 meetings, and I decided a meeting a day. And I did that for a very long time. Nobody told me I had to do it. That's what I knew I had to do. Instead of popping a pill, I did a meeting. Instead of taking a bite, I made a phone call. If I wasn't on the phone, I was at a meeting. If I wasn't at a meeting, I was on my knees. If I wasn't on my knees, I was taking quiet time. I was reading literature. I was writing. I was doing whatever I had to do not to eat one day at a time. And I took a lot of showers, I took a lot of naps, I took a lot of everything. And it was wonderful because I was starting to feel good. I was starting to feel human again. You know, a lot of weight had come off my body and I was able to get on a bicycle and ride a bike with my daughter. We went bike riding all over the city of Chelsea. You know, we rode down to Riviera Beach. We were all over the place. We had a wonderful time. And the way I figure it is, God took my mother when I was 9, and he gave my daughter back her mother when she was 9. Because by the time she was 9 years old, I was abstinent in this program, and she had a mother. And I am so grateful for that. So, that first sponsor that I had, 8. And I got a second sponsor. And the second sponsor, 8. By that time, I thought, geez, what's going on here? What am I bumping them off? Or what's the story? I got this third sponsor. And this third sponsor, they're all very special people in my life, I have to tell you that. And this third sponsor, I was hemming and hawing about this chicken, because in my abstinence, I was eating 2 pieces of chicken and a can of green beans, and that was my abstinence, and that's the way it was. Everybody else was doing 4 ounces and 6 ounces, but I was eating, not everybody else, but, you know, the majority of people. So I get on the phone, and I'm hemming and hawing about this chicken, and she says to me, oh, no. She says, not 2 pieces of chicken, darling. And what my 2 pieces were 2 large boneless breasts. Those suckers weighed about 10 ounces, you know. So she said, no, darling, not two pieces of chicken, but 4 ounces. You put it on the scale. Well, you know, up until this point, I never knew what to call myself. I didn't know if I was a compulsive overeater. I didn't know if I was I thought food addict. No, I'm not really a food addict. 350 pounds, you'd think I would have known I was a food addict. But I wasn't convinced. Well, when she told me 4 ounces of chicken, that was the convincer. Because I thought that I was going to die. I thought that I was going to starve to death without my chicken. And I told her so. And I cried over that chicken, and I screamed, and I fought, and blah, 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 blah. She was really very, very kind, loving, and consistent. And she kept saying to me, Darlene, just one day. Just do it one day perfectly. I kept saying, I can't. And she said, you're absolutely right. You can't. But you and God can. She said, you ask God for help. You drop that chicken on the scale. You weigh 4 ounces. You dump it in your plate. You eat it. You know that it's enough. You're not going to die. And you'll be okay. Well, and she kept saying, less is more. And I thought, yeah, right, less is more. I'm going to starve, blah, blah, blah. But like I said, I had God working in my life, G-O-D, the gift of desperation. So I was willing to give it a try. I showed up at the scale. I asked God for help. I dropped that chicken on the scale. I asked God to help me stop at 4. I dumped it in my plate, and I ate it. And it was enough, and less was more. I couldn't believe it. So that was the second most fabulous day in my life. 1, the day my daughter was born healthy. 2, was the day I found God by dropping the chicken on the scale. I knew without a doubt that that was God doing for me what I could not do for myself. Ever since that day, I've been abstinent, one day at a time, in this program. And for that, I am forever grateful. Over 200 pounds has come off this body, and it has been an incredible journey. I can tell you at that point, I am a stubborn son of a gun. And at that point, I thought that sponsor was nothing but a controlling bitch. And that was it. I was getting rid of her, so I fired her. Even with the wonderful spiritual experience she helped me to achieve, there's something wrong upstairs. But I got my 4th sponsor. And at that point, I got into an AWOL because I wasn't taking the pills anymore. So I got into an AWOL. I got into the AWOL and was with this 3rd sponsor. And we were on the 3rd step in that AWOL was when the chicken and all that happened. And then I got my 4th sponsor. And that 4th sponsor helped me through the rest of that AWOL. And many, many changes happened through that. So so many changes happened through that AWOL. And I got a full-time job, got off welfare, and many wonderful things happen. Well, I had that sponsor for about 4 years, and she ended up eating. And that was a devastating time in my life. It was a really hard time. But the good news is I ended up with my sponsor who I have today, which is a woman who I have the utmost respect for, who has been a part of my recovery since the very beginning. I met her at that Saturday morning meeting. I saw her get up and share. And she's always been, she was one of the co-leaders of every AWOL that I've been in. And she has really been a wonderful, wonderful person in my life. And I am truly grateful for her. So, I have to wrap it up. But I have so much more that I could tell you. I can tell you that I did a lot of crying. And, you know, the co-leader of the AWOL called me up and she said to me, come over to my house. And I went over there and she said to me, what's with all the crying? You know, this crying has to stop. What's the deal? What do you want from this program? She said. And I sat there and I sobbed and I said, all I want to be is a mother to my daughter. That's all I want to be, a mother to my daughter. And she said to me, darling, I guarantee you that if you keep going to your AWOL, keep coming to your meetings, keep asking God for help, keep not eating, I guarantee you, you will be a mother to your daughter. The woman has never lied to me, because that's what I am today. I'm a food addict in recovery, not eating one day at a time, with a 19-year-old daughter who just moved in back into the house last week, and I'm a mother to her. And for that, I am truly, truly grateful for my life. And it's all because of this program. Many things has happened, many wonderful things, many happy things, many sad things. You know, coming here this morning, I was in a car accident, and that's why I was late. I got hit by an 18-wheel truck, but I'm fine. You know, my car's a little banged up. If it had to happen, it couldn't happen any better. You know, the guy got out of the truck, he said to me, I know it was my fault, I'm sorry, I didn't see you. We looked across the street, there was a state trooper. He came over, called AAA. AAA came, I gave him the keys to my car. He dropped me off here. I'm qualifying. I'll go back, pick up my car, and I'll be on my way for Thanksgiving Day. And I can't believe my life today. I can't believe that I have a car in the first place. I can't believe that I stand before you in a thin body, a sane mind, in this peaceful, easy feeling that I have most of the time. Actually, all of the time, I have this inner peace that fundamentally all is well. Because you know what? The food doesn't own me. The drugs don't own me. The booze don't own me. The cigarettes don't own me. I was able to get out of that lousy relationship that I was in for 11 years. My daughter was able to go to camp. I'm able to function, you know, I'm able to take care of myself and my daughter. My sister, you know, she left program and she's been in relapse ever since. My first sponsor has been in relapse ever since. You know, I have a front seat, you know, to see how progressive this disease is, but I also have a front seat to see how wonderful this recovery is, because I know many, many people, and I happen to be one of them. And I hope, one day at a time, for the rest of my life, that I am involved in AWOL and living this program to the best of my ability. This program, as I know it today, is FA. And this program, as I knew it then, was OA, but it was always the way that I know it today. I was very fortunate that I came in to meetings that were good and strong, 90-day meetings, and knew that they were food addicts, and knew how to treat this disease, you know how to deal with it one day at a time. And that's where I want to be for the rest of my life. So I am eternally grateful, and I hope you all have a wonderful holiday. Oh, I'm sorry. That's not it. After a moment of silence, all those who wish, please join me in the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.